So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsin Senate Democrats just elected a new leader. State Senator Janet Bewley of Mason represents the 25th Senate District. And Senator, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Mason is in Bayfield County. Mason, I looked it up, has a population of 90. So let's just say you're not super well known. So I'm going to ask you a 10,000 foot question. Ready?
Okay.
Why are you a Democrat?
Oh, goodness, because it really matches the values of my community. We are people who live as neighbors. From the moment we wake up, we care about each other. We communicate well. We value the outdoors. We value making sure that our families have what they need, including a good education and healthcare. So, yeah, it's all what this place is about.
Well, I've heard the term progressive Democrat, liberal Democrat. What's the difference? Which one are you?
Well, I guess I'm a Northwoods Democrat, and I guess that would probably be the ability to accommodate all, but remain true to a path that includes us all. So if that means middle, then so be it, but it also means that you navigate the ruts and the grooves of the road as you go. There's a lot of different people with different outlooks up here, but again, we're united by some pretty solid and standard values of taking care of each other, which includes our environment and the well-being of all.
Senate Democrats are in transition with four veterans leaving. Right. Why did you want to become the leader, and what are your goals, not just through November 3, but after that?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to look at the fact that we have a transition because Senator Schilling is not choosing to run. She had been leader for a while, had kept us unified, and as she chooses this new path in her life, I think it's important that we maintain continuity because we're navigating through such interesting and very challenging waters. The last thing we need to do is turn the whole caucus upside down and turn it back up again and start over. We need to maintain some sort of consistent not necessarily consistent leadership, but a consistent viewpoint as we go forward so that we can focus on all of the changing dynamics going on. Since I was assistant, one could say from the outside, well, what about keeping your assistant and have she or him or whatever move into that spot? Well, I felt, okay, let's consider that. I'm very willing to do that, but I want to vote. I want the caucus to make that decision. And they did, and I was elected, and I'm very, very pleased to be here.
How well known are you in Dana, Milwaukee County, which is the bedrock of votes for your party? Now, I'm well aware that Bayfield and Ashland and Douglas can go Democrat, but the heart of the Democratic turnout is Dana, Milwaukee.
Right. Well, me as a legislator, I'm probably as well known as Senator Schilling was. I'm probably as well known as in my position as the existing leadership had been. And they'll know, people who know what a Democratic leader in the Senate is will know that it's now me. If they didn't know before, I don't know if I'm going to bring any new prominence to that role other than that it is a change and people will know that there's a new one. I hope that every day that goes by, more and more people understand the significance of state government in general and are looking at the kinds of policy decisions that we make. So let's hope that as days go by, people know what role we play more and more. I don't know if they're going to know more about it just because it's me, but I think that all of us in the caucus have that responsibility.
Do you have an urban agenda for Milwaukee and Madison, Green Bay, and Racine and Kenosha?
Well, my urban agenda is the agenda of my caucus, and I look to their leadership in Milwaukee, in Madison, in La Crosse, in Green Bay, and I look to the, what they have said, because consistently the people have been very pleased and very, they see those corresponding values in those senators. So I think it's very appropriate to be always informed by the senators that are already there and representing that policy. I know that I have some wouldn't necessarily call them urban centers, but I do have larger cities that serve as an important nucleus for a lot of economic and health and education drivers in the district, those two being mostly Rice Lake and Superior, but and Ashland. And they're certainly by no means large. They're 25,000, which to us is big. And so they have different dynamics. But again, I look to the caucus for those sorts of directions.
The role of a leader in an election year, number one, find candidates. Number two, raise money.
Right.
How far along are you? I mean, when I look at, do you have someone to run against Republican Senator Fayen and Teston and
yes,
in the attorney district and in Olson?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
All right. And are these candidates that when you ask a candidate to run, well, and also in Romaine Quinn's district, what's your elevator speech? You should run as a Democrat in these districts because?
Because it's your time now. We need Democratic leadership more than anything. And first of all, if these are people who are stepping up with the desire and the willingness to do the hard work, I look then at their values. Do their values really correspond to what I understand basic democratic principles to be? And the unique challenges in their districts. I want to know that they match their districts. Someone who'd be a good, strong Democrat in Sun Prairie might not necessarily be the right Democrat for Iron River. And it's they've got to match their district, they've got to have the basic democratic values, and they've got to be ready to work.
Well, and when they say, how much money, Senate Democratic leader, can you raise for me? How do you answer? And how are you going about raising that money?
Well, it's a matter of how much can you raise for yourself first. They have to be ready to go to their the people in their district and get the money from them. And more than that, begin by getting their support, by getting their recognition as the right candidate. And the money would come from that. You've got to prove yourself first, and particularly for a lot of people who are going to make a difference more with small dollar contributions than the very, very large amounts of money that will come. Later on, if they have really demonstrated that hard work, I think people that typically support democratic causes might look to them and say, yeah, they are doing the work. I'm going to help out.
Well, you've got to hold, let's say you're going to hold the Miller seats and the Risser seats because those are just Democratic. You've got to hold Senator Schachner's. You've got to hold the Schillings. You've got to hold Hansen. And then you've got to play offense. Let's call the roll. Who is the Democrat going to run against Senator Fayen?
Don't know yet. Senator okay. Fayen, oh no, we do. I'm sorry, we do have a candidate for Fayen. Let's start with Teston.
Please.
Okay, let's start with Teston. We have a gentleman by the name of Paul Petrowski. Now, he came forth, he was invited to come, and he very quickly responded. He has had conversations with many of us in the Democratic Party, including his local party. He is from Stevens Point. He is a retired police officer. He had most recently been the clerk in the city of Stevens Point. He and his wife have had foster children over the years. He had been the community relations, the community resource officer in the schools. He is one of those people that's got the bona fides, and he's also got the willingness. He really wants to do this at his point in his life. His family is on board, and he's got a strong strong, strong base of support. Perfect candidate to run against Teston. So that's who we're very, very proud of for that seat. And then if you look at we've got Brad Paff in Senator Schilling's seat in La Crosse. We have John Hansen, who is running in Green Bay.
Now, that's for Senator Hansen's seat, but he's not held elective office. He's not very well known.
He's a part of the county board in Green Bay.
Thank you for the correction.
Right. And so he is known, and he is known in Democratic circles somewhat, although we won't totally depend upon it. The name of Hansen means something. And it's not so much that he is going to be another Dave, but he's going to be another kind of Democrat that has those values that Hansons have had over time. And he will fight for the people of Green Bay, and we know that. So I think we're very confident with that candidate. And then of course there's Patty Shockner. Now she is, talk about the right candidate for her district. She really came along and surprised a lot of people when she won that special election.
Yes, that
against,
was an upset.
And that really indicated a lot about how, what kind of a turnout we should expect or be surprised by. That was very, very good. It was at the right time. And I think that we are going to have to do some of the same work, but some different kind of work in rallying that base of support for Patty to get reelected. I think that we do have a very good chance of holding on to that seat. We're going to work hard, and I know that Patty has a very, very good reputation in that district. It typically does lean Republican, but she won that district before, and she can win it again.
What about for Senator Olson's district, Senator?
I don't know.
And you don't have one yet for Senator Fian?
We do, but I'm not.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone's probably circulating papers, and there are other factors that you can't talk about right now.
Right.
Why is it good year number one to run as a Democrat? Why is it a good year to number two run as a woman and a Democrat?
Well, you know, for the women in our state and in our country, it is still a matter of gaining that position as holding up half of the world. And I don't want to believe that it's necessarily an entitlement, but it's certainly a role that we play in society. So it's very necessary that we would have that role in elected office. I think that women have proven beyond a doubt that we serve as extremely capable legislators. We bring a whole set of skills that I think that government in general really didn't know they needed until they got us. We bring a willingness to tolerate adversity in ways that I think are surprising. We get through complicated issues well. I don't mean to mainly say that we're better than, but I think that we bring a set of skills that typically were not used in the political arenas, but are proving to be very, very important skills in politics. And I think it is just very natural that we're seeing more and more women elected.
President Trump won, according to former Representative Duffy, by the largest margin in the 7th District. Duffy won with 61% in 2018. Has the 7th District lost its enthusiasm for President Trump?
I think that the nation as a whole is very concerned about President Trump. I think that as every day goes by, they are finding less and less of the demonstrations of presidential integrity that we really, really need. Some will say, well, that doesn't matter. But I think that more and more people realize that integrity, honesty, and character do matter, because this is the United States of America. It matters. And I think that people are ready to be more demanding of the kind of willingness to be a statesman that the current leadership in the White House does not embrace. There's no true, there's not the dignity of the office like there needs to be for an international leader. And I think people value that. I think they're very proud of their country when they can be very proud of their president. I think people want that, and I hope that Democrats consistently prove that that is one of our values as well.
Special election in the 7th, a week from tomorrow. Mr. Duffy held that for a number of years. The Democrat, Tricia Zunker, is she a underdog in that race? Do you expect her to pull an upset?
I don't even know if phrases like underdog and upset are even useful at this point.
Okay,
first of all, we're dealing with a gerrymandered district. We're dealing with a district that has only had this particular makeup for 9 years. So it is new, and Duffy had it from before. So I think that we've got to realize that it was created to lean Republican, but we can overcome that. And I think that Tricia Zunker is just the candidate to do it. She's very consistent, and she's very clear about what it is she values and what she wants to do. I think the thing about Duffy as a candidate and as a legislator was that there wasn't much there to see in terms of what he valued and what he accomplished. I think if you were to go to your neighbor and say, what has Duffy done? I don't know if anybody could say what he's done. All they know is that he's a Republican. That's not enough. You just can't win on that label alone. You've got to be a human being, a person that people identify and say, that's who that man is, or that's who that woman is. And without performance, they have nothing to judge.
4 years ago, were you Sanders or Biden? And if you were Sanders, are you now joining in the support of the former vice president?
I don't think I was either Sanders or Biden back then.
Okay.
Keep in mind that I'm a member of the DNC, and as such, I was very aware of what was going on within the party, that people were tending to go to one side, left or right, within the Democrat. And I tried very hard not to stay at that level and go left or right, but go above and watch it. Because from the very beginning, I knew that people were going to say, we want to know who you're going to endorse. Well, I do not represent a district. I represent the state of Wisconsin on the DNC. So I held out for quite a long time. And that is typically the way that I conduct myself as a Democrat, is that when I'm asked a question, I look at the venue within which they're asking me. If you are asking me, how does the entire state of Wisconsin feel about an issue from the Democratic perspective, it will be different than what I say about my district, because my district will have a slightly different take, a different orientation to those different values than would say someone from Madison. So I try to look at the scope, the area of what is considered a Democratic opinion before I answer.
Looking backwards, why did President Trump win Wisconsin very narrowly in 2016, Senator?
I think it was the national wave. I think it was Trump had a consistent dog whistle that woke up a lot of people who hadn't heard a message before. They hadn't heard a unique message that called them, that they identified with. And I think that Trump was successful in doing that. I don't think we can discount that. I think that many of the people who have supported Trump have learned over this period of time that who he is as a human being and the policies that he puts forth do not represent them. And I think that we are going to see that people are going to be far more careful, and they're going to explore deeper into the candidates than they did before, because they're not, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice.
Okay, we're going to show a graphic now. You've had a very interesting history. You know, Northland College, Dean of Students, WIDA officer, original cast member for the Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua, Ashland City Council. Which of these most prepared you for your current leadership role?
I think it's the sum of them. I think that it's all of the different things. Again, you know, we're a big tent party, and as a human being, I've been a lots of different things. I've been all over that tent. I've been a mom. I've been in a very, very hard scrabble family that was lower middle class. I have gone to college and tried to put together the resources that could get me there. And then when I got into elected office and the job at WIDA, I realized that I like being able to understand people and find ways to truly represent them and the whole area at the same time. When I was Dean of Students, I saw so many first-time college students come into the college setting and find challenges that they truly needed help in overcoming, and then see them thrive. And I wanted to bring to all of the people of my district those things that will help them thrive. And they're all different. So
You've also talked about taming a personal demon. Was that alcohol?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, sure. I mean, everybody has challenges in their life. And I think I'm not any better a person as anyone else. But when it clicked in my head that this was a change I had to make for my well-being and for the well-being of my family, I got help, and being able to get that help has made all the difference. And it's been 26 years now, so I'm grateful every morning, and then every morning I try to help other people who are in similar positions, whether it's alcohol or drugs, whether it's mental illness or just extreme challenges that you truly don't think you can overcome by yourself. I try to get them the resources, the help, the compassion that they need.
You're leading in a very interesting time with the COVID-19 health emergency, Senator. Has it divided us? And here's why I ask. I looked it up. 7 of the counties you represent have 25 positive and 2 deaths. And the whole state has 6,964 positives and I think 339 deaths. Are we beginning to divide? I mean, with the WMC plan to open up regionally, do you see any merit? I know there's pressure in northern Wisconsin that may not be there in southeast Wisconsin. So talk to me about leading in a time of COVID-19.
Well, I think that, you know, there are different opinions, and I think that it is probably a little bit inaccurate to say if someone's wearing a mask, they're a Democrat, and if you're not, we can't do that. We shouldn't rush to labeling anybody ever. And if you were to go into stores in northern Wisconsin, there's a lot of people wearing masks. I mean,
you're right.
There's a lot of people. So, and then the other thing about there have been so many numbers of positives in northern Wisconsin. Number one, we are testing nowhere near what the rest of the state or the rest of the country is doing. So
That's
the numbers
true.
Of cases might
That's
not
true.
Really be an accurate indication. But let's say that the numbers are low. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that we have less of virus coming in, or we're better at keeping it out? We don't know. We just know that so far we have not had to suffer the surge that other areas have been. So some say it's working. Let's keep it up until this epidemic is done, particularly at a time when so many people from outside the area want to come to northern Wisconsin. So some would say, nope, this works, so let's still be very, very, very cautious. Other people say, well, it hasn't come, so let them come. So I can understand how people feel, and I understand how they can interpret the data in those two different ways. But I think that we have to be careful. I really, really do, because I go, and when I go to the drugstore, and I see so many plates from outside the state starting to come in, it makes me wonder, well, where have they been? Where are they coming from? What is the testing situation? What's the COVID situation? How careful has that community been? And how careful are they going to be in a place that they don't consider is their home?
So you're very comfortable with the governor's extension of Safer at Home until May 26th, right,
Senator? I am. Especially when you look at that we are relaxing things. Because just because the deadline is a fixed number doesn't mean that we can relax certain things before that deadline, which we are now doing. The state parks are open, for example.
Yep. Just a couple more issues. You now have a working relationship with Senator Fitzgerald, a new working relationship. What are you asking? Do you want the Senate come back to act on the 160 bills passed by the Assembly? Do you want another? Do you want them to come back and pass another COVID-19 package? So, what's your request? What's your ask of Senator Fitzgerald for the next Senate action?
Well, I think that, you know, we have work left undone. That's very clear. The Republicans themselves have a set of a minimum of 8 bills that were passed in the Assembly that they would really love to bring over and get passed. And these are things that could have been unanimous in committee. They got through and now they're ready to go, but they just were not taken up. So we could do those. There's also a desire, at least on the part of my side of the aisle, that we put some money into the COVID legislation. Whereas we passed a bill that would allow us to accept the federal money, we didn't put a penny of state money in. I mean, imagine that. Here, a pandemic in our state, and the state didn't pony up. Not a penny. We didn't, you know, we didn't add any money to it. And I think that's an indication of something that means that, you know, we'll let the feds do it. We'll let businesses do it. We'll let nonprofits all chip in, but the state won't. And I think that we should. I really, really do. We can do it better because the state we know what the small businesses are, how they operate, where they get their financing, and we can go in there and deliver help so much faster than these federal programs can. The PPP money ran out, and now we have to start all over. So I'd love to get some state money in. Now, whether or not we do that, you know, I'm smart enough to know that there's a very slim chance. We might go back and do the Assembly bills, but I don't think they're going to come back and put any money into COVID. I just don't. So, but we'll see. You know, I'm willing to work.
The Fiscal Bureau said that the governor pretty much controls $1.9 billion as part of the CARES, the federal response. Mm-hmm. Do you want some of that to go to northern Wisconsin tourism, where tourism is a $21 billion industry to Wisconsin in 2018? Should some of that 1.9 come north?
I can make a strong case for that. As a matter of fact, the Secretary of Tourism requested somewhere between $3 and $5 million to go into tourism. And then also along with that, I think that the small business money could go into tourism related businesses so that we can help them keep their feet on the ground. These are businesses that are struggling mightily. And so we need to get both tourism dollars and small business dollars and into this very important industry. And then I think there are other things that I would love to see distributed in a way that Northern Wisconsin would get its share. I think our county health departments desperately need money. Our health clinics desperately need money. And no conversation from me could go by without saying we should accept the federal our federal healthcare dollars and that have been allocated to Medicaid that is just waiting there. I mean, that's just like manna from heaven that we refuse to take. So, but the COVID money, the 1.9, I think that we have some very, very good ideas from both Democrats and Republicans. So it's going to be a very interesting process to see how that money will eventually be allocated.
Two final questions. Thanks for your time. Can your party win control of the Senate on November 3, Senator?
It could. I mean, we've got the things in place that could make it happen. It's up to two very important things. One of them is how effectively is any candidate going to be able to get their message out in the COVID environment? And number two, what is the election going to look like? I mean, we've got the 7th CD coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll have the primary and then we'll have the general. And they could all be different. They could all function under different rules. I think we need to have a male option. Some even say a complete male. I think some people are going to want to take that, to choose to come and vote in person if they want to. I don't think they have to be forced to only do male. But we've got to make we have to make the elections fair. We have to make them believable. We have to make them so that they have the confidence of the voting public that they were handled fairly and that this is an accurate measure of what the people feel. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. But yes, if we can satisfy those two things, we can win.
Final question is a personal one. Given your love of acting, if you could play any role on Broadway, which one would it be?
Oh my gosh, on Broadway.
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to play Cosette. Everybody wants to play, you know, in
Les Mis, right?
In Les Mis. That's the one that everybody wants. I'd be good. But I did play a role that I absolutely loved, and it was a snake handler.
Snake handler.
There was a play that was really a series of monologues, of vignettes, and I played a young teenager who inherited the job of being the snake handler in her church, and the monologue was about her taking the snake out of the basket, and yes, I had a live snake, and explaining to people why I was doing this, along with all of my absolute terror, combined with what I was told was supposed to be my absolute faith. It was brilliantly written, and it was one of the most complicated monologues I've ever done, and I absolutely loved it. I would love to do that one again.
Well, on that note, thank you so much, Senator.
You're very welcome.
Janet
thank
Buley
you so
is the new Democratic leader of Senate Democrats. She represents the 25th District. She's from Mason, and I want to thank you for your time, and we'll hopefully see you in the Capitol soon. Thank you.
I hope so. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks very much.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.